Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. We would also like to invite you to watch our TV program that airs following this radio broadcast at 8 a.m. on channel number 6 of your public access station entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look and see if you might become a regular viewer of that program. We would also like to encourage you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We have all of our radio broadcasts on that website. Also, our TV programs can be viewed from that website, and a host of other Bible material that will be helpful to you in your study of the Word of God. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given many times of our services at Harrisburg, and we want you to know that you will always be warmly received to come and worship and study God's Word with us. We want to give you a special invitation today as our gospel meeting begins this today with Brother Lowell Solis of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He'll be preaching at our regular services today and each night this week, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. We cordially invite you to come and be with us to open and study God's Word with us. You will always be warmly received, and we would love to see you, and we hope you'll take this opportunity to come and partake of this spiritual feast. We have been giving you an overview of the Bible these past few months, and now we are in the part of looking at the minor prophets. And the minor prophets are the last 12 prophets of the Old Testament. We want to look today at the prophet Joel, sometimes referred to as the prophet of the day of the Lord. The book of Joel is 3 chapters and 73 verses. He is included in the 12 minor prophets. His name was a very common name in Bible times. His name means Jehovah is God or persuaded of God. Thus, his name enshrines a brief confession of faith and maybe reflects the piety of his parents. He is the son of Pithiel in chapter 1 and verse 1. He spoke of Zion in chapter 2 and verse 1 and the children of Zion in chapter 2 and verse 23. Judah and Jerusalem are mentioned in chapter 3 and verse 1. And the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem are mentioned in chapter 3 and verse 6. It is believed that he was a native of the southern kingdom of Judah. Due to the different contexts of the birth, Joel has been called the prophet of locusts, of the locust plague, in chapter 1 verses 4 through 7. The prophet of the temple, as is mentioned in his book in chapter 1 and verse 14 and 2 and verse 15. He's also called the prophet of Pentecost because of his prophecy concerning that in Joel 2:28-32. But we know very little personal history of the writer himself. No direct information concerning his life or the time of the writing. Some have concluded by his knowledge of the priest's work, he may have been a priest or a son of a priest, but there is no way to know that for certain. The date of the book is also uncertain. There are two popular conclusions. Most believe that he prophesied during the reign of King Joash, king of Israel, and Amaz, the king of Judah, possibly around 800 and 835 B.C. Others believe him to be a pope exile prophet. Why? He did not mention the northern kingdom, nor did he mention Assyria, or Babylon. These have concluded these governments have fallen, hence no need to mention them. People who take the earlier date point out that the enemies of the Phoenicians, Philistia, Egypt, and Edom that are mentioned in chapter 3, verse 14 and 19, countries which were prominent in the 9th century, but not later. Orthodox Jews usually regard the early date, but the important thing to remember, regardless of the date, is that the book is inspired by God, and therefore it's an important message of God to his people. The occasion for this writing is that Israel has suffered 4 successive invasions of locusts which had devoured all their vegetation, according to chapter 1, verse 4 through 7. Although drought and fires had befallen the land, are they literal or figurative? Length of the local locusts and invasion were somewhere around 5 months. Whereas in Joel's account of the devastation, it involved years. Remember, this nation was familiar with locusts. Why? It was the eighth plague brought upon Egypt in Exodus chapter 10, verse 12 through 15. Locust plagues were prophesied in the event of apostasy in Deuteronomy 28, 28 through 32. In more recent years, Palestine has been hit with locust plagues in 1845, 1865, 1899, 1904, and lastly in 1915. Yet this one in Joel's day was especially severe. Added the drought and the fires in chapter 1, verse 10 through 20. The basic message of the book, and all these things that were depicted as judgments from God, chapter 3, 25, and a harbinger of the day of the Lord, in chapter 1, verse 15. The theme of the book is the day of the Lord, God's message to the people, in short and sweet, a call to repentance for the nation to return to Him. This will result in blessings of His people and terror to their enemies, according to chapter 2, verse 18, beginning in verse 18 through chapter 3, verse 21. The study of Joel, we want to break it down very briefly for you. In chapter 1 through verse 1, and ongoing to chapter 2, verse 17, is the judgment of God and the call to repentance. Both chapters largely cover the same ground. The difference, chapter 1 describes the devastation and the gloom that it brought. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 17, describes the devastator that brought the devastation. It began by getting their attention in chapter 1 and verse 2. The scene it's about to lay out was worse than any of memory, even the old. They were commanded to tell their children, and they were to tell their children what happened in chapter 1 and verse 3. They were to keep it in memory. The devastation was very real, according to chapter 1, verse 4 through 7, 9 through 12, and 17 through 20. The devastator, the locust, chapter 1 and verse 4. They understood destruction brought by locusts. Why so devastating? Their number. One female locust will deposit 65 to 75,000 eggs in one square yard of ground, about 4 inches deep, an estimate of 60,000 that can be hatched. In 1915, the government of Palestine issued a proclamation, men ages 16 through 60, to gather 11 pounds of larvae daily and deliver it to officials. Made good feed for the chickens and the storks, I'm told. Their strength, in chapter 2 and verse 2, proportionate to the size, a locust mouth is stronger than a lion's mouth. Their speed, chapter 2 and verse 4, the Italians call the little ponies because they're a little bit longer and horse-like face. The method of attack in chapter 2, verse 7, called my great army in chapter 2, verse 25. Note, one source said that locusts, before growing wings, can cover up to 600 feet a day, devouring everything in its path. When coming to water, they thrust themselves in, and the floating drowned bodies of the first ones into the water serve as a bridge for the other ones to cross. The effect upon the people. The drunkards weep and howl, according to chapter 1 and verse 5. The husbandmen and wine dressers howl, chapter 1 and verse 11. The priests and the ministers and the altar howl, chapter 1 verse 13. The source of the devastation, of course, is the Lord. The day of the Lord in chapter 1 verse 15. A judgment sent by God, sent by the Lord, according to chapter 2 verse 25. What were the people to do? What did the prophet want the people to do? Turn to the Lord with all their whole heart, chapter 2, verse 12. Why were they in such peril? They had turned away from God. This was always happening, and they needed to turn back. They need to make penitence genuine repentance, according to chapter 2, verse 13. The reason sinners need to repent in order to be forgiven. They needed to call a solemn assembly, according to chapter 2. Verse 15, let the priest and the ministers to the people weep. Let them weep for the condition of the people. Chapter 2, verse 17. Now Christians are both priests and ministers, according to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And in Joel 2, verse 28 through 27, implies the people repented in verses 19, 20, and 23 through 25. The Pentecostal prophecy of Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32. Now, we want to read that prophecy because that is a prophecy of the events of Pentecost. Chapter 2, beginning in verse number 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be a deliverance. As the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord will call. In this prophetic Pentecostal prophecy, it is a preview of Acts chapter 2, and the fullness of time had come, as Paul talked about in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, when God would bring His Son and bring His plan to its full fruition. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. All flesh points to a worldview. All will benefit from the Spirit's work, without a distinction of sex, without a distinction of age, without a distinction of social order, whether they're servants or handmaidens, it doesn't matter. Nowhere in the Old Testament did God select a slave to be a prophet. Prophecies, dreams, visions are complementary, not distinct. These are dates. 1 Corinthians 13, 8-10. I will show wonders, chapter 2, verse 30. In the midst of each generation, there will be a way of escape, chapter 2, verse 32. And Joel 2 is part of that second chapter group. And the enemies of God's people are cast off in Joel chapter 3. And so you have Judah and Israel shall be delivered from captivity. Nations shall be judged because they had scattered the Lord's people and been abusive to them. And the nations told are prepared for war with those who oppose them in chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem, according to chapter 3, verse 16 through 21. When out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, Isaiah 2, verse 3. Repentance and remission of sins will be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, as it was in Acts 2, verse 37 through 41. The Lord continues to break through the revealed word, the spiritual Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the church, as we read in Ephesians 1:19 through 23. Great spiritual blessings of the Lord's people are set forth in Joel, in chapter 3 and verse 8, in contrast to the utter destruction of those who are disobedient and unprepared, according to chapter 3 and verse 19. What are the lessons that we can learn from this short book? National calamity is the fruit of natural sin, Proverbs 14:34. Those who practice their happiness in material things are made miserable when they are deprived of them for any reason. Joel 1 verse 11. Blessings follows repentance. Joel 2, 18 through 27. And finally, the danger of external religion in Joel chapter 2 verse 13. Sinners should learn a lesson from the days of old and from the book of Joel. The real tragedy of the sinner is to stay in his sin. Turn to a merciful and gracious God who longs to save if he will repent and do his will. That's what Joel was seeking, to bring them back to repentance or face the wrath and the doom of God. The choice is theirs, just as it still is today. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.